Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we get into the scripture tonight. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, Lord. Lord, as we approach this point of time in the service, Lord, the preaching of the word, we ask, God, that you anoint us, God, and guide us, Lord, through your teachings, Lord, to be a help to the people, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated, and because I want to go through the chapter here of 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and so we'll kind of go through it slowly instead of just reading it as a text, and we ministered the last couple of Thursdays on things concerning Corinth, and now I want to get into the book of Corinthians and the things that were taught to the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, begin at verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and so the ace, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are the sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Notice Paul saying that he was an apostle of Jesus Christ, and we of course know about the apostles, and Paul was saying, I wasn't selected by the church. I was selected by God himself, by his will. And we know that because Paul, the Bible tells us, was on his way to further persecute the Christians when Jesus appeared to him in a great light, shone on his path, and called Paul. And so, you know, in the upper room, why the disciples wanted to choose one to replace Judas, and they chose him by lots, drawing lots, who would be the one to replace Judas in the 12. And but God didn't choose that one. God chose Paul. Verse 2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. And we know that the way that Corinth was, and the evil and wickedness of Corinth, and as Paul says, such were some of you, speaking to the church at Corinth. And but now he's saying, you're sanctified. You're cleaned up, in other words. And you're called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, and even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So Paul is reminding them that they are where they are now because of the grace of God. And that the testimony had been confirmed in them. In other words, their life had changed. And he says, and God's going to confirm this all the way until the end. And then in verse 10, he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also in the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other." So Paul is talking about here in this church, there was divisions that had creeped up. And there was contentions among them. And it was those saying, well, it was Paul that brought me in. Well, it was Apollos' ministry that brought me in. And Paul's saying, is Christ divided? It wasn't the ministry of these men, but it was the ministry of Christ through these men. So it was one ministry through different men. It was the ministry of Christ that brought them in. And he says here, it's been declared unto me of you by them which are the house of Chloe. Chloe, this is the only place in the Bible that Chloe's mentioned. Chloe was a sister, and they don't know why it says of her household, other than the fact that it was members of her house that reported to Paul, there's contentions in our midst. And, and you think of these people, poor them, that Paul couldn't have just said, look, it's been told me that there's contentions in your midst, but he actually said, they are the ones that told me. And, and many times when there's preaching that goes on and things are exposed by the preaching, you know, sometimes people will think, well, so-and-so knew about it. It was so-and-so that told the preacher. Well, I got two things to say about that. Very seldom is it someone else that told us or told me. It was just something the Lord was bringing out. But even if it had been something somebody told me, well, that wouldn't matter. That's what Paul's saying. It doesn't matter who told me. The thing is, what really matters is, it's the truth. You got contentions among you. There's divisions among you. And, Brother Branham said, he said it was Paul speaking to him as a father, and then after a bit, he really brought the whip down on him and said, it's been told me there's contentions among you, and the thing is, there shouldn't be. And Brother Ram said, mark those who cause contentions among you. Mark them. He said, maybe they say something to you, and, you know, he said, you know, don't pay them any attention. Just say, well, how you doing? It's good to see you again. He says, and then just go on, you know. And mark them. Don't pay any attention because you know what that leads to. If you would, for a moment, turn with me to Romans 16. Romans 16, I want to read a couple of verses of scripture there. Romans 16, 17 and 18. Paul writes here and says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." And, many people say, well, you know, don't avoid anybody. Well, it actually says here in the Bible, avoid them. In other words, what it's saying is, don't go have fellowship with them. Don't cozy up with them at the local coffee shop and hear their things that are bringing division. And for he goes on to say, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. In other words, their own cause. They're saying it for their own benefit. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. They make it sound good what they got to say, so they can deceive somebody. But their whole motive is to bring a division between people. There were those that tried their best to bring a division between me and Brother Phil over the past few years. But you see, they're not here, and Brother Phil and I both still are. So they may have for some time brought something, but they were not successful. Brother Branham says this in the Greater Than Solomon's here. It says, when you see people who run someone else down when the man is proving he's doing a good work, then there's a selfish motive behind it. It's either for money or fame or for something. What's it for? Their own benefit, to serve their own purpose, to serve their own cause. And you know, the Bible says, receive not an accusation against an elder save two or three witnesses. And the prophet said, then first let those witnesses be tried. In other words, what's the credentials of these witnesses? These people who are saying these things and bringing these accusations, what are their credentials? In other words, what is their life like? Are they living right? If they're not living right, then don't listen to nothing they got to say. Discern what their intentions are. Discern the spirit. Because if you believe that stuff, then later you're going to have to come around and make that right yourself for believing it. You can't just let that stuff go. Turn me to Philippians 3. Let's read verses 14 through 19. And it goes along with this. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. So in other words, you want something to measure it by? Then those that God has put down for an example, measure it by them. For many walked, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Paul ain't pulling those punches here. Paul is telling you, oh, not well, you know, poor them. Well, they mean well. No, Paul says they're the enemies of the cross of Christ. Friends, look, people who come and try to bring divisions, they're an enemy of God. You want to judge what they're saying? Then look and see what's the purpose of what they're saying. is the purpose of what they're saying to bring a division, then I'm going to tell you something. Then you need to mark them. And quit keeping company with them. Consider where their end is. Whose end is destruction. That's what Paul says here in verse 19. Whose end is destruction. Whose God is their belly. In other words, just what it was saying, what the same thing of what it was saying in Romans, they're serving their own purpose. In other words, somehow they're going to benefit out of this. Sometimes it's just no more than to make themselves not look so bad for the things they're doing. You go and you keep company with somebody at church and spread all kinds of things to them, you know, during Thursday night or Sunday or sometime, but then on Friday night and Saturday night, they're out at the local club with some other people, you know, sitting around, and they ain't sipping coffee then, they're actually sipping margaritas or whatever. Discern who you're keeping company with. You can't take what they're saying to mean nothing. Whose God is their belly and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. Contentions, divisions. I was reading in the Seal of God today where Brother Branham was talking about speaking to the Branham Tabernacle. And he said, I hear there's contentions among you. And he said, I hear there's some strife. He said, I want you to write out what's a matter from the depths of your heart and lay it on this platform pulpit tomorrow night. I want to see why this church can't be carried away with the power of God and the baptism of the Holy Ghost and with signs and wonders. What's the matter? Your pastor believes it. You believe it. So what's wrong here? There's something wrong. This should be a lighthouse of the world. This should be a place where the powers of God and weeping and crying and seeking for God. Why can't we have it? Because there's contentions. Because there are divisions. It's because, friends, look, I've been here almost 25 years, and Satan has pulled everything that he can think of out of the book and has tried everything he can to try to bust this church up. He's caused people to come in amongst us and tell lies and spread falsehoods and everything else. Why? To try to bust it up. But I got news for him. He didn't start this church. God did. So he ain't got no control over it. Man didn't ask me to come here. God sent me here. I didn't come here because I had to leave somewhere else. I could have stayed where I was. But I felt led of the Lord. And I feel like that there isn't nothing going to tear this church up. As long as we heed to the word. Look at verse 17 of Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and start at verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, why does it say it that way? Now, remember what it said up in verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. So they are the ones calling it foolish. And then Paul's saying, but God chose that foolishness of preaching to save those that will believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Now, he's talking about this church, these people. He's saying, look, you're despised, but God's chose you. I don't say this for any other reason than it's the truth. From the very first time I've come here, or before I came here, the first time I heard about this church, all I heard was bad things. People had bad things to say about it. I came here and preached the first time, went back home, and some folks that were related to somebody in the church, and they went somewhere else, they heard I'd been here and preached, and they had their pastor, and their pastor knew something, I guess, or supposedly knew something about this church, and he said, Dixon is a graveyard for preachers. I was down in Georgia, and I was going to preach at a church down in Georgia. This is before I ever came here, and that's the first time I heard about this church, when I was in a van riding from Georgia over to Alabama with some brothers from this church in Georgia. And we were riding over to a meeting that at Brother Homer Longoria's, that Brother Ron Spencer was speaking that night. And while we were riding in the van, you know, they began to talk about a church. And it happened, they were talking about the church in Dixon. And then they kind of laughed about it, about the church. Well, I didn't know anything about the church. That's the first time I heard of the church. And, you know, but later, when I come to know the church and that, I never forgot those things. And why is that? Why despised? Because the people of God are always despised. A church that really wants the truth is always despised. Always put down. Always made a laughingstock. Always made fun of. Nobody, you know, people shouldn't have been making fun of this church. What they should have been doing was, if they were supposed to be believers, they should have been praying for it. Not making fun of it. Praying for the people. How you know, unthoughtful. They spoke about it like it was an object instead of realizing they're speaking about souls. Verse 28, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised have God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I was reading here in the midst of the resurrection. Brother Branham said, someone said to him, Brother Branham, if there... talking about the gift he had, said, if there had been a gift, the Pope of Rome would have known about it. He said, yeah, he would have known just about as much as Caiaphas knew about Christ being born. He said, God doesn't deal in great big rings like that. He come to the poor and humble and takes that which is not and brings it to pass. Foolishness of preaching to condemn the mighty and wise. God does that. He always takes the very lowest to bring it up. If them apostles could have said, we're educated, we're smart, we got all kinds of degrees, they'd have had something to glory in. But they were ignorant and unlearned men. And God taken that which was not and made it that which is. Then everybody's got a chance. In the midst of water from the rock, he begins talking about where God told Moses, the people of Israel, you know, they wanted water. And God told Moses, said, go up and strike the rock. And he said, you know, the wise would have said, why not go down in the low place and find somewhere where there's some palm trees or something growing, there's water there. Why go up someplace high and smite a rock? How are you going to get water there? He said, but that's where God told him to go. Confounded the wise. And he said, and the people today say, oh, divine healing, if there's anything, it'd be up there at the big up and ups. It'd be in the big churches and the Vatican City. It'd be probably the Archbishop of Canterbury or some of them would have the gifts. Or would it be one of them old missions down on the street where they're clapping hands and going on, the foolishness? Yet it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them which are lost. So he said, well, it would be up here with the big ups and ups. No, it's down here with the humble. It's down here with, he says, one of the old missions down on the street where they're clapping hands and going on. You know, there's been those around the message that they've took the sermon of church order and they've just about ordered the Holy Spirit completely out of the church. No more clapping hands or saying amen or speaking. I remember Brother Jim telling me one time he went to a church, and they was kind of a quiet church, and he said he was in there and heard somebody clapping their hands, and he thought, who in the world's clapping their hands? So he looked beside him, and it was Sister Joyce. He said, stop doing that, he said. That's terrible. But look what he said here, down there, that foolishness, clapping hands, worshiping the Lord. Hallelujah. He says here in the message of inspiration, said, today people in general act like Cain. Cain no doubt said, if we build a nice altar, we'll make it beautiful for God, we'll worship in such a place. And he got the lilies of the field, and he put them on the altar, and he got fruits of the land, he laid them up there, and he made them all nice, built him a nice church, a nice altar, knelt down and said, God, this I offer you. And God refused it. And today, people trying to go to the better church, where people dress better, where the pastor's a little more formal, not so fanatical, as they call it. Do you know the mind of the world is an enemy to God? The wisdom of this world is foolishness in the sight of God. And God, by the foolishness of preaching, it pleased him to save the world or them that would believe. How one so contrary to the other. We don't have highly educated speakers here. You know, when I go and I preach somewhere else, and that it doesn't matter to me who you know, I've preached in places where the pulpit was lined with other preachers, and that doesn't bother me. I don't think myself any greater than them. But I do know who I am and that God called me. So it doesn't bother me to preach in front of them. If I'm asked to preach, well, then I'm asked to preach. And I wonder if they're going to criticize how I preach. Well, if they do, they do. I can't preach any different than the way God's called me and give me. That's the only way I've got. Any God-called man, that's the only way he's got to preach, is however God called him and how God placed him to do it. And how God made him. Because, you know, look, God made us who we are. And he wanted us to be, each of us, to be a certain type of individual. And then he takes and he uses that for his own glory. Look, God didn't stamp us all out of one mold. We're all different, like the flowers of the field. We're all different. God's got many flowers. God's got many people. God's got people of all nationalities, of all races. There's not one race better than another race. We're all equal in the eyes of God. Through the foolishness of preaching, the world, is what Paul was saying, thinks it's foolishness. Why? Why would you want to go hear what some man's got to say? Well, I don't want to go hear what some man's got to say either. I want to hear what God's got to say. And I want the confidence that the person that I'm hearing, they've been in communication with God. They're under a leadership of the Holy Spirit. They don't just, you know, I don't just get up here and just ramble off. But I take time to study and look over these things and pray about them. And time to let the Lord speak to me about it. But the world calls that foolishness. But Paul said that to them that are saved, it's the power of God. It's the power of God. Why? Because a man's words wouldn't do anything for you. But if it's God's word, then that can change you. And that can have a change on your life to change you from who you were to a new creature in Christ Jesus, as Paul says. It can take a man or a woman. Maybe they're the most contrary person there is. But it can change them. Make them one of the sweetest individuals. Make them someone that people want to be around. You know, I had a friend, I've mentioned him quite often here. He's passed away. But when I was just a teenager coming up, I graduated high school and was going out on my own. I always liked to get around him because no matter how I was feeling and what was going on, he could always make me feel better. Now, what was it about him? Was it just because he was a funny person? No. He had rough things he had to face in life. He had some rough times in life. But you know what? Don't focus on the rough times. That's what Paul is bringing out here in this first part of this chapter. I thank God always on your behalf for the grace of God that was given you by Jesus Christ. Look at what he's given you. Look at what he's changed you from. Look at the life he's given you now. I like that song, "Roll Back the Curtain of Memory Now and Then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been." Look at where you could have been. Thank God you're where you are. Amen. And not where you could have been without the mercy of God reaching down into your life. And you know, sometimes God turns your world upside down to get you turned around. He'll stand you on your head, but he'll get you turned around. Thank God for that. Thank God he didn't let us go, but that he stopped us. Just like Paul. Paul was on his way to do further damage to the Christians, but God stopped him in his tracks. Paul said, "Lord, who are you?" He said, "I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest." Stopped him right there. And the light blinded him. Couldn't see. And God didn't immediately take the scales off his eyes so he could see. God let him kind of stew in that for a little bit. Until he sent one to come and pray for him. He said, "Go down and pray for Saul." He said, "Lord, he's a bad man. He's done much harm to the church of God." "Yeah, but He's a chosen vessel unto me. Stop Paul right there in his tracks. God stopped a lot of us. Some of us, God had to actually spiritually arrest. To get us stopped. But God will do whatever it takes to get your attention. If you belong to him, he's not going to let you go. We ought to thank God for that. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the service tonight, and for this teaching out of this first chapter in Corinthians, Lord. Pray, Lord, you continue, Lord, to direct us, Lord, as we go through these books of Corinthians, Lord, that we would learn from them, dear Lord, and grow from them. I pray for those, Lord, that weren't able to be here tonight, that will listen to this service, Lord, on the internet, Lord, that you will, Father, speak to them and bless them with it also. I ask for the service Sunday, Lord, you know the needs, Lord. And you know, Lord, those who will be here, and you know the needs of those who will be here, and I pray, God, that you will direct us, Lord, to be able to be a help, Lord. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name.